Well, good morning, everyone. We are indeed here. We are back. And it is good to be back. Although I was telling Joel, 16 hours straight of driving is a little bit, I'm still dragging today, as you can see. But we're thankful to be back with everyone and had a wonderful time. I'll share a little bit more of that later in our sharing time this morning. But we want to just have a few announcements as we start today. You'll see that there was a box in the narthex as you came in, and that is for you to bring some canned goods to assist in caring for a home of young people that is located here in Toccoa. So if you would like to bring them and deposit them in that box, you'll be able to help some missionary kids who are unable to return home right now. With food. And also just a reminder that the women's group will begin meeting, is it September 2nd, Janice?
Yes.
At 9:30? 10:30 via Zoom. And they'll be resuming their study of Tim Keller's book. So if you have any questions about that, contact Janice and she can get you signed up for that. So any other announcements this morning? Then let us come to worship the Lord our God, and let us join together in prayer as we come into his presence this morning. Our glorious God and Father, we gather our thoughts together and we come with charging ourselves in the name of your great glory. We come to set before us who you are, and we fix our attention and apply our minds with active and lively faith, setting our eyes on Christ Jesus, and seeing ourselves in your special presence, presenting ourselves to you as living sacrifices this day, which we desire may be holy and acceptable in your sight. And so, Lord, unto you do we lift up our souls, and we come now to praise you as our holy, holy, holy God Almighty, who was and is to come. O Lord, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. O Lord, our God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as with a garment. You are the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To you be honor and eternal dominion. May you now fill us anew with the Holy Spirit, that we indeed may worship you in spirit and in truth. May you speak with clarity and power into our lives to continue your transforming work and to make us fruitful in every good thing, that you may be glorified in us and through us, and that we may shine as your light in this dark world. Fill our hearts with joy and worship now. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For in you my spirit takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by.
I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness.
My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens.
Let your glory be over all the earth.
They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down.
They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves.
My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody.
Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations.
For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth.
While in Wisconsin, my father kept saying to me, tell everyone when you go back home, the best things in life are free. And especially during a time of social distancing, our family focused on all those free, simple things of life, which are the best. And at this point, as we draw near to God, we go freely. And of course, the greatest gift of all is free. Jesus died for us that we may become God's children freely at total expense to himself, but no cost to us. And we too now can draw near to the throne of grace freely because what God has done for each of us. So let us go to our Lord together in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our lives are full of so many things that can be very hard and difficult. We can look back upon our lives. We can look at our lives right now. We can have concerns about the future. But your word, which says, lo, I am with you to the end of the age, is so precious to us that no matter where we find ourselves right in this moment, we can know you are with us. And you are speaking to us through your word. Lord, we pray that you will just take whatever our burdens are, our fears, our losses, our griefs, our troubles, our deep pain, and may we be lifted up to hear your word to us today, that it may minister deep into our hearts. For Lord, we can look in all kinds of places and to other people in search of comfort, peace, and rest. But these things can only be found in you. And praise be to you, O God, that they are found in you. We are lost and unworthy and undeserving. But you come to us in grace and mercy and unsearchable riches. From wherever we have fallen, wherever we are today, please give us ears to hear you speaking as your word is read and proclaimed. And lift up our faces that we may see our Prince of Peace and his glory. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 91, and you'll find that on page 526. And listen to these wonderful words of our Lord and hear them. They are being spoken to you. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation. No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent, for he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. I think we're going to have to change his name to David. What do you think? Rafa, did you recognize it, one of those songs? Did you recognize that last song? Jesus Loves Me? Do you know that? Yeah. All right. Well, what an amazing psalm we have before us today. What a feast. And we began looking at this, 4 weeks ago now, right? And I promised I'd be back to it, and today we're going to be going deeper. And what a psalm of promise. If you want, it could be the saints' anthem of God's great and precious promises here. Wonderful psalm for you to memorize, and we should have it set to music. Chip, how about it? And have this as something that we as God's people sing, because what glorious promises they are. But I want to begin today with an important clarification, because when we look at all these promises that are stated here, they seem to be such absolute promises, and this can trip us up. God seems to be promising us that we're not going to experience any hardships in our lives. And if you look at these phrases here, such as no evil will befall you, or no scourge will come near your tent, well, that sounds very absolute, doesn't it? But God is not saying that his people will not experience any troubles or hardships. In fact, if you look in the 15th verse, and I encourage you to keep the scripture before you, but if you look in the 15th verse, it says there that God is speaking, says, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in what? In trouble. In other words, the psalm itself acknowledges that we as God's people are going to have troubles. No, we need to understand that the psalmist is using a poetic style to express the fact that the habitual response of God to all the dangers and difficulties his people face is to protect and rescue us out of them. That is God's nature. That is his heart. As Christians, certainly we go through hardships, and they can be extreme, horrendous, even unspeakable. We heard a recent example of the story of Kayla Mueller. Kayla was an aid worker who lived her life for the needy. She expressed her sense of calling in this way: I find God in the suffering eyes that are reflected in mine. If this is how you are revealed to me, this is how I will forever seek you. Kayla was taken captive in August 2013 in Aleppo, Syria, while leaving a Doctors Without Borders hospital. She was held in brutal captivity by ISIS for 18 months before she was killed in February 2015. She was but 26 years old. And it's reported that she had been forced into marriage to ISIS head Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who tortured her and did unspeakable things, and that she was a personal captive of Abu Sayyaf, the highest level ISIS commander who oversaw the terrorist group's lucrative gas and oil operations. But in a letter to her parents that was smuggled out by another prisoner, this is what Kayla wrote: I remember Mom always telling me that all in all, in the end, the only one you really have is God. I have come to a place in this experience where, in every sense of the word, I have surrendered myself to our Creator, because literally there was no else. And by God and by your prayers, I have felt tenderly cradled in free fall. I have been shown in darkness light, and have learned that even in prison, one can be free. I am grateful. Horrendous? Yes. Why didn't God save her out of this? We don't know. But did she find her refuge in him? Was he faithful? Did she know light in darkness, freedom in captivity, gratefulness in him when everything else was taken from her? A resounding yes. And this is the kind of refuge that God wants to be to every one of his children. So today, having looked at this passage in general, having sort of unpacked the promises of it several weeks back, we want to go deeper. And I'd like to begin by just highlighting the extreme dangers that this psalm tells us God's children face. Look at the metaphors here that express the nature of our worldly journey and the struggles before us. Fowler's snare, deadly pestilence, the terror of night, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness, the destruction that wastes at noonday, thousands falling all around, the young lion and serpent. You see, besides all the common dangers that we face along with all the people of this world, threats of disease, job loss, relational breakdowns, financial ruin, wars, natural disasters, and a host of dangers and difficulties, as Christians, we face much more destructive and threatening spiritual dangers on top of all this. It's as if we have targets on our backs. There are people who are filled with murderous blind rage who would trample us to death simply because we hold fast to God. But there's an even greater power than this that rages against us. The power of darkness and demons and devils. I wonder if those who would have smirked to hear a person say this a few months ago would still be so quick to do so in light of what we have seen night after night on our television screens. From where does the blind rage and destructive violence, the malicious hostility come from? You watch and listen to the furor and the tumult, the uncontrollable mad eruption that seems to take control of a crowd and drive it beyond all reason. It causes people to batter and break down with what seems to be superhuman strength. This is crowds possessed and run wild by powers greater than themselves, as the Bible calls it, mists driven by storm. God has always used the power of the sword, the power of rulers, to restrain such evil forces. But let God withdraw his hand in judgment and give the powers of darkness freedom for a while, and we'll see a destruction and ruin the likes of which we couldn't have dreamt about in our worst nightmares. And realize that these powers are waged against God's people. That, as I said, we have targets on our backs. That, as the Apostle Paul said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And Paul spoke of our great enemy, the devil, who shoots his flaming darts at us, who is ever seeking to ensnare God's children by leading us into pits of self-destruction through fleshly sins and false teaching. And Peter expressed this in this way: your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And John the seer spoke of the dragon, that ancient serpent, being thrown down to the earth to deceive and mislead. You see, it's all the same metaphors as in our psalm: arrows, snares, lions, serpents, but now lifted to a much higher spiritual plane. But let me tell you now the greatest danger. before humanity, as if what I said isn't enough. But that isn't the greatest danger. Do you know what the greatest danger is? We find it alluded to in the 8th verse of this psalm. The recompense of the wicked. The recompense of the wicked. You see, God has a day for the wicked. Right now, he mysteriously and providentially uses even their wickedness to accomplish his ultimate, righteous, and perfect plan for his people and his creation. But the day of reckoning comes, and an ultimate day of reckoning is coming when Christ shall come on the clouds and every eye shall see him. Then the kings of the earth, the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone slave and free hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, we read in the book of Revelation. They were calling to the mountains and the rocks, fall to us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Revelation later describes the coming of Christ. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. The first verse of the battle hymn of the Republic alludes to that, doesn't it? That day is coming. And those who have lived their lives refusing to make God their refuge, whether great or small, will suddenly be crying out for shelter in that day, but there will be none to be found. Do we realize what we're up against? Do you see how terribly helpless and vulnerable we are? How are you going to stand and endure? Only by making the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High your refuge. Amen? Amen? So this psalm gives us, by God, motivation to find our refuge in him, doesn't it? And it desires to increase our faith and trust in the comprehensiveness of his protection and deliverance of us amidst all of life's dangers, every conceivable difficulty we could face. So the important question for us today is, how do we take refuge in God? How do we shelter ourselves in him from all of these natural disasters and demonic powers and the judgment to come? How do we take refuge in him? In our psalm, it is described as fleeing to a secret hiding place. And we don't just go that on occasion there. We don't just go there as difficulty faces us. But it says that we make it our dwelling place, a place where we abide, a place that we constantly reside in. And it's a place where we are tenderly watched over and cared for and protected. And these aspects are beautifully described in terms of a new eagle hatchling that takes shelter against the side and under the wing of its mother. God wants to gather us under his wing and shelter us from the praying threats that endanger us. Did Jesus not express the same truth when he was with us? He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Isn't that an irony? That so many are unwilling to come into this place of refuge? Isn't that an insanity? and yet it is true. You see the heart of God? He doesn't want to leave us out in the cold, exposed, preyed upon, constantly anxious and threatened by life. He is the one who gathers his people in his arms close to himself. And how wonderful it is to nestle up against the one who is described here as the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord, none higher, none more powerful, the exclusive, incomparable God over all the earth. He is the one who calls us to find refuge in himself, the one who is a shield and a buckler. There was a small shield that was used in fighting, able to be quickly moved to fend off the blows of swords. And then there was a large rectangular shield that was used like body armor to protect the total person. The word is saying that God is both of those to us, that he functions that way for us in our lives. He's one who is the God who will bear us up and even send his angels to keep us from striking our foot against a stone, this passage says. That is the heart of our God. And you see, it is this God who says, come to me, come to me, find your rest in me, who calls us, who pleads with us, who invites us to come to him and to find rest and refuge and protection and deliverance. So how do we make him our dwelling place? And how do we abide there? In Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. How do you run into this strong tower and find your safety? Well, our passage gives us three answers in three expressions. If you look in the 14th verse, 14b, the second part of the 14th verse, it says there that we run into God's tower, that we find his shelter, by knowing his name, first of all. By knowing his name. And then in the second verse, we read that secondly, we find God a refuge to us by trusting in him. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And thirdly, back to verse 14, the first part, we find that we find God a refuge to us by cleaving to him in love. Because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him, God says. By knowing God's name, by trusting him, and by cleaving to him in love. These are the means given for obtaining the protection, deliverance, and tender care of the Most High God. We could have an entire sermon just on this, the nature of true saving faith. But we see there's a necessity for knowledge, to have understanding of God's name. That's a Hebrew way of expressing the knowledge of God's glory and incomparable exclusive sovereignty and all who he reveals himself to be, and paying homage unto him alone. That's what it means to know God's name. And that leads to the second point. This paying of homage leads to the aspect of trusting in him. It's staking your life and every aspect, every moment of it, on who he has said he is, on all that he has done, and all that he promises to be and to do to you and for you. And lastly, the beauty of all that he is must lead our hearts to being gripped by him, our falling in love with him, our cleaving to him in love. If you only believe in a great sovereign God, but you have no relationship of tender affection and love to him, you haven't yet come to truly know him and find your refuge in him. It is when these three elements are all working together in us, knowledge, trust, love for God, then he becomes a refuge for us. That's how it works. Now, in Old Testament times, this trusting and cleaving to God was expressed most fully in going to the temple, where the Ark of God rested in the Holy of Holies, that Ark of God that represented God's footstool and God's presence with his people, his dwelling in their midst. Though only the high priest, after cleansings and anointings, could enter this most sacred place, yet to be there and to offer your gifts and make sacrifice and have this high priest enter in your behalf was the closest an Old Testament saint could get to God. And it was his or her joy and delight. In New Testament times, where we're living now, we have continual and full access into the holiest place of all, the true holy place, the dwelling place of God in the heavens. And this, of course, is through the ultimate high priest. And it is there that God's child strives to dwell. Against all tendencies to wander from God, we seek to remain in his shadow, to dwell under his wings, to remain as close as we possibly can through mindfulness of our spiritual union unto Jesus Christ. It is because you and I are united to him that his death and his resurrection becomes ours, that we have been made acceptable and are able to enter into the very presence of God, into the holiest place of all. You see, it isn't enough to merely trust in God in a general and distant sense, like trusting in the man upstairs, that someone's watching out for us. That doesn't get you into God's refuge. That isn't enough. Something needs to radically change in your being in order for you to enter into this holy place. Because there's something very wrong with every one of us that makes us unacceptable to God and unable to be in his presence. You might as well try to put a pile of dry sticks into a blast furnace as to put a natural person into the holy presence of God. Something needs to radically change about us. And that can only happen in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. You and I need to recognize our need, our desperate need, to be made right with God if we are going to have this refuge and this care. We need to understand his radical provision of forgiveness and be clothed in a righteousness whereby a thrice holy God can receive us. So if you want to know the powerful protection and deliverance of a God who is devoted to caring for you as his own, you must find your relationship with him in and through Jesus the Christ. To dwell in his holy place and to abide under the shadow of his wings, to be sheltered in his presence, you must become holy, holy, holy. And the only one who can make that happen for you and in you is Jesus Christ and what he has done at great cost and offers you as a free gift. Given the perfect righteousness and holiness of Jesus, we are able to draw near to him And this fundamental change, this renewing of your entire being, can only happen when you know his name and put your trust in him and cleave to him in love. You need to be cleansed from sin and dressed in his white robes. This is what Revelation chapter 7 tells us. Listen to this passage. Here is this vision of John. And he writes, "Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and where have they come from?'" John is in the spirit, and he's having this vision of all these people before God's holy throne. And they're all dressed in white robes. And someone raises the question to him, "Who are these?" And John says, "Well, sir, you know. Tell me." And the voice says, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation who've gone through the sufferings and the trials. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them in his presence. They will hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun will not strike them, nor the scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye." Now, my friend, if you have never experienced what I'm talking about this morning, this nearness to God in your life, this life before his throne, being sheltered in his presence and knowing the blessings of cleaving to him in love, well, you can come home and find rest this very day, right now. Because this is the day of salvation. This is the time when God's arms are open to you and he's saying, "Come, come, receive this gift. Come, find refuge in me, in Jesus Christ." This can be your moment. And it's insanity to stay away. God offers you this inexpressible gift right now. All you need to do is, in the quietness of this moment, come to Christ and tell him that you need him to save you, to wash you, to clothe you in his righteousness, and make you holy and acceptable before God, who is a consuming fire. And he will grant you his salvation and provide you access into the secret place of the Most High forevermore. There has never been one who has come to Jesus and asked for this gift who has not freely been given it. Come. Come to him. But you might be here today as a person who has trusted in Christ, and yet you're not dwelling in that secret place. Perhaps you've gradually wandered away. You feel alone, exposed, threatened. If so, you have only to call your unbreakable union to Christ to mind. And right now, through repentance and faith, tell God the things that you have been finding your refuge in instead. You know, this is this time of sheltering in place, right? How have you been finding it? Are you sort of unsettled, maybe angry, maybe anxious, having all these feelings? Oh, we're going to struggle in a time like this. But you know, the struggle should lead us back to the discovery of where we find our refuge. It should always lead us back there. And if it doesn't, and if we just sit and stew in our misery, there's something really spiritually wrong there. This is an opportunity for you, this time of sheltering in place, to discover more fully and deeply how God wants to be your refuge and your shelter through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, are you discovering some of the things that you may have as alternatives that you find your refuge in? Certain people? Certain recreational activities? Wealth? A bottle? What is it that you, in this time, are running to find your sense of shelter, to comfort yourself, to cope, to deal with this time? Is it God, the God of hosts, God Almighty, the Lord? Or is it something else or someone else? Search your heart. Ask yourself if you're knowing him as your refuge. Our daily worship of God, our daily delight in him, especially our gathering for worship on our Lord's Day, these are the occasions to renew our sense of abiding under the shadow of his wings. And just as we are mindful of the presence of a family member to delight in the honor of that person, so we can grow to live more and more mindful of the holy presence of God gained by Christ for us and by the Holy Spirit, to delight and honor him above all. Here's a prayer for you. Father, because of what Jesus did for me in making me to be entirely righteous and acceptable in your sight, I have peace with you, and access to you has been given me through him. I draw near to abide in your most holy presence under the shadow of your wing, trusting with all my being that here and here alone I find protection and deliverance from every danger. You know, a prayer like that has tremendous power and efficacy. When you place your trust in God through Jesus, that in and of itself engages God most zealously in your behalf. As it says in our psalm, because he trusts in me, I will deliver him. You see, it becomes a matter of God's own honor, his faithfulness in keeping his promises and watching over his own. And so the first thing needed in order to know this wondrous protection and deliverance of God is to position ourselves in his secret place, right up against his side and covered by his wing. And this only in and through the one who came into this world in order to bring us to God, in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, by being united through faith to him in his death and resurrection, whereby you may be washed and clothed in white and made worthy to draw near and cling to the most high and holy God. Have you been made able to enter the holy places and take shelter under his wing by the blood of Christ? If not, don't delay. Go to Jesus this very day and ask him to cleanse you and make you acceptable to the Father through his perfect obedience and death, so that you might have freedom to enter this place of rest and know the care of a God who accepts you and delights in you, in his Son. And if you've been able to enter the holy place to take shelter under his wing, then by all means come to him and nestle yourself against his side and let him spread your wing over you right now. Have you been foolishly chasing after other things? Repent and come back and find him to be your dwelling place. And ultimately, no matter what the circumstances, you will find your rest, your security, your eternal delight in him. Amen. Well, I'd like to invite us all now to stand, and as we profess our faith today in the words of the Apostles' Creed, let's make this a formal opportunity, a formal occasion to come back under his wing by knowing his name, by expressing our trust in him, and by renewing our cleaving to him in love. Will you stand and let us confess our Christian faith together? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite you now to join me in a time of prayer and intercession, and let us come boldly to the throne of grace. We have been welcomed into it through the blood of Christ. God is attentive. He hears us. He desires to work in and through our prayers of faith. So let us come into his presence. O holy God, how wonderful it is to approach you with confidence, knowing that we have been made acceptable in your sight and are able to stand before your holy, consuming presence. Those once filthy and unrighteous, made holy and perfect through the costly gift of your Son, our Savior Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that by faith we can receive this gift, and that your Holy Spirit is pleased through faith to enter into us and to make us to be new creations, entirely and radically new beings, to remove our guilt and to begin this process of making us more and more like Jesus until that day when we shall rise with him and be entirely conformed to his likeness in your presence forevermore, dressed in robes of white and worshiping and praising in your new creation. How we thank you, how we praise you for so great a salvation as is ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we pray for those in our congregation, both those here and those who will be listening, who do not yet know you as a refuge, who have not yet come to trust in you in this radical way and to know your name, to understand you in Christ, and who have not yet come to know this cleaving to you in love. Father, we pray that though they may have heard many, many sermons, though they may have heard much about the Bible, what it all comes down to is whether or not you are their refuge, whether you are their delight. And we pray for those who cannot yet say this, who have not yet experienced this in their lives, who recognize that they're somehow still standing out in the cold, distant, and that they're seeking to find their refuge in other things. We ask, O Lord God, that they would see you standing before them with arms open wide, calling them, inviting them to come and to receive your free gift of life in Jesus Christ. Now is the day of salvation, O Lord. How free it is, how gracious you are. What true and full and burning desire you have for every single sinner in this world. And so we pray that we will hear you and we will respond to you through the Spirit. And Lord, we want to confess to you today that we who have known your name and who have known the blessing of dwelling in your presence and under the shadow of your wing, who can testify to how again and again and again you have been faithful and you have delivered us and you have protected us. And yet to our shame we confess that so often we wander away. We leave this refuge and we return to foolish and unprofitable things that only injure our souls and cause us to lose you who are the joy of our salvation and grieve your Spirit. And so, Lord, we come back to you this day. We return to that wonderful place by your side. Spread your wing over us, O Lord. Gather us to your own heart. Breathe your life into us. Deliver us from the things that are troubling us, upsetting us, distracting us, and help us to find peace and rest in you, not only this day, but throughout this coming week. May you be our dwelling place. May we abide there through faith, by worshiping you, by thinking after your thoughts, by holding you in our conscious awareness, by thinking your thoughts after you and reading your word. O Lord, teach us to abide in your dwelling place. For there we are safe. There we are secure. There we are nourished and comforted and cared for and protected. Your arms encircling us. There we can stand in the midst of all the troubles with someone like Kayla Mueller. There nothing can injure us because we have the one who is greater than all things, the one in whom all joy and life is found. So, Lord, we just express our love for you today. We repent and return to you. And, Lord, we thank you that you are our dwelling place. We thank you, Lord, for the joy and satisfaction we find in you day by day. Through this time of sheltering in place, may that only increase more and more. Give us discernment in this time, Lord, to realize the competitors to you in our hearts, that we may rid our lives of them, cleanse ourselves from them, and be wholly dedicated to you in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would be with all of our congregation in their struggles. We know that health and physical infirmity poses a special struggle. And it is so tempting, Lord, to despair. And we pray for those who are going through physical trials, those people in our congregation and good friends that are in our town. And we heard this week about Mark Ivester, who's in critical condition with COVID. We pray for him and Eleanor and his family. We pray for Ron Wade, a friend of many here, who is in a very serious fight with cancer. Lord, it is wonderful to be able to lift up to you not only the names of the people in our church, people that we love and have named over and over, but people that we don't know. Father, you are so good. And we ask that you would continue your work in our church through this time when many churches are struggling greatly to know what their purpose and identity is. We pray for wisdom to discern the opportunities that are presented us and the ways, the creative ways that we can continue to build our relationship with you through faithful discipleship, our relationships and fellowship with one another, and our mission to our region and to this world. Make us faithful in this, Lord. Empower us and guide us, because we believe that there are ways that you have for us to move forward and not to be restrained and handcuffed in this time, but to bear even more fruit for your glory, because nothing will restrain you, O Lord. Father, hear us now as we join our hearts together and pray that prayer that, Lord Jesus, you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand now, take your hymnal, and hymn number 6. Let's turn together and sing this as we close our worship today. Going to end our worship here today. Next week we'll hope to have some time for visiting following the service, but today as you go outside, perhaps you'll have opportunities to get together and safely visit with your masks on. I want to remind you that we'll be excusing you row by row, beginning at the back, and so we ask you to leave the sanctuary, and we pray your continued blessing this week as you go. So as we close today, receive the blessing of the Lord. May you continue to find shelter in the Most High. May you abide in the shadow of the Almighty. May you be one who can say to the Lord, You are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, and through all the unsettling and uncertain days ahead, and to all eternity, as you gather before his throne, clothed in white, to be sheltered forevermore under the wing of the Almighty. Amen. God bless you.